Any Southeast 8 in Portland. We are celebrating 30 plus years of Latinx contributions to KBOO with poetry, music, performance, and food. If you cannot get here to the live event, you can listen starting at 8 p.m. at kboo.fm or on the KBOO app. Our Latin Expanion Open House will be on the air for 4 hours, starting at 8 p.m. till midnight. Call us at KBOO Studios for your shout-outs at 503-231-8187.
Yo, bless up. KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Plug and Play on Wednesday, November 28th at 9 p.m. It's at the Jack London Review here in Portland. Plug and Play features Dubtonic Crew and Aaron Nigel Smith with Trinity Sounds, all playing Jamaican reggae and dub. This is a 21 and over event. Again, that's Plug and Play featuring Dubtonic Crew, Aaron Nigel Smith with Trinity Sounds on Wednesday, November 28th. It's at 9 p.m. at the Jack London Review. The address is 529 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at the KBOO.fm website on the right side of the homepage underneath Community Events. It's more love every time, right?
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a Portland man bribes an ICE agent.
The report from the Weekend Water.
And in international news, the UN Environmental Report.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. I'm Mike Fdeklis.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. The Portland Public School Board has released its new proposed policy on professional conduct, but not everyone is happy with it. The six-page document is the result of a promise made by the school board to adopt a policy of conduct after it was revealed in October 2017 that the district ignored complaints about teacher and coach Mitch Whitehurst for several years over sexual misconduct. The document details how teachers, staff, and volunteers should conduct themselves when interacting with students, both on and off school grounds, as well as interactions via social media. However, leaders of the Portland Association of Teachers are not happy with the policy as written, complaining that it is vague in some areas and hard to apply. The association also said that it could place normal teacher-student interactions in a gray area. The union demanded that the district negotiate the policy with them last month. This puts the vote by the board on the matter on hold for 90 days from when the union made its demand.
Commercial crabbers in Oregon and California are suing 30 fossil fuel companies. They claim that the fossil fuel companies are to blame for climate change, which is hurting their industry. The Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations filed the lawsuit last week in California State Superior Court in San Francisco. They are suing 30 different companies, including Chevron and ExxonMobil. Noah Oppenheim, the executive director of the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations, told the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, "The scientific linkage between the combustion of fossil fuels and ocean warming, which leads to domoic acid impacts in our fisheries, is clear. We know it, and it's time to hold that industry accountable for the damage they've caused." Crab is the most valuable single-species commercial fishery in Oregon. In October of this year, the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations successfully sued the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to protect salmon and steelhead trout populations in the Columbia River Basin from warm water temperatures caused by dams and climate change.
A hate crime trial for an Oregon State University student and former student government representative with ties to white nationalists began today. Graduate student Andrew Oswalt and an unknown accomplice were captured by surveillance footage plastering racist bumper stickers on the cars of Showing Up for Racial Justice members over stickers showing support for immigrants and refugees. Following his arrest, photos of Oswalt marching with white nationalist groups in Portland, delivering Nazi salutes from a freeway, and waving a swastika flag subsequently emerged. For months, he hung a Confederate flag across the street from the university's Black Cultural Center. The 28-year-old was recalled from the OSU House of Representatives by student voters with almost 90% of the vote, but he remains a PhD student at the university. Oswalt is on trial for 3 counts of first-degree intimidation, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years. The trial is expected to last 3 days.
A Portland man has pleaded guilty to attempting to bribe a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent to deport his estranged wife and her child. 48-year-old Antonio Burgos followed an ICE officer from the facility in Portland to a Vancouver parking lot. He then offered the agent money to deport his wife. Burgos explained that he was in the process of divorcing the woman. He had sponsored the woman's residency in the U.S., but now that they were separating, he wanted her out. The officer declined the bribe and reported it to the Office of Professional Responsibility. The office contacted Burgos on a recorded call. He offered them $3,000 to deport his wife. Burgos was arrested and has pleaded guilty to a bribery charge. He will be sentenced on May 6th of next year.
A Portland area pharmacist has been accused of secretly recording people at his work. 34-year-old Johnny Tuck Chi Chan was arrested and booked into the Multnomah County Jail following a year-long investigation. He has pleaded not guilty to charges of encouraging child sex abuse and invasion of personal privacy. Chan is a licensed pharmacist with Kaiser Permanente at their Airport Way Center Pharmacy, Supply, and Laboratory. Prosecutors argue that Chan used secret cameras to record people, including children, in a bathroom at his work. According to court documents, the recordings took place between December 1, 2016 and November 14, 2017. Chan's next scheduled court appearance is January 14th next year.
The number of forest fire has risen to 88 with the release of the names of 16 more people who perished in the blaze. Butte County Sheriff Corey Onea released the 16 names this morning after notifying the victim's next of kin. Rescue searchers have been combing the remains of more than 14,000 homes that comprise the city of Paradise over the last 2 weeks, and officials say that a good portion of the city has been searched. However, the task of identification of the victims has been exceedingly difficult, as most of the remains are no more than bones or fragments of bones. There are still 203 people missing from the region.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. At 6, it's Combined Culture's premiere of Escalate With Me, a new album by a Portland-born artist by the name of Kovi. At 6:30, it's News from the Boo. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be rainy with a low of 50 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be again rainy with a high of 51 degrees. Today in history, in 1960, Richard Wright, novelist and author of Native Son and Black Boy, died. The quote of the day is from Richard Wright, who said, quote, "The artist must bow to the monster of his own imagination."
A new United Nations report released today is warning that global efforts to tackle greenhouse gas emissions are behind schedule. Emissions have reached a record high of 53.5 billion tons as of 2017. This represents the first rise in emissions after 3 years of decreases. The ninth annual UN Environmental Program report analyzed the impact of climate policies implemented by individual countries. The report was released just a few days before the UN climate conference starts in Poland. The talks will hopefully result in a rulebook for how countries should implement the 2015 Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement aims to limit the rise of global temperatures to less than 2 degrees Celsius annually. According to the new report, global emissions will need to be around 25% lower than current levels by 2030 to limit global warming to 2 degrees Celsius. This emissions reduction increases to 55% in order to lower the rise of temperatures to only 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Several Ukrainian regions bordering Russia, the Black Sea, and the Sea of Azov have declared martial law as Ukraine's President Poroshenko claims, quote, Ukraine is under threat of full-scale war with Russia. Poroshenko made the claim after Russia fired on and boarded 3 Ukrainian ships, seizing 24 crewmen after the ships attempted to enter the Sea of Azov without proper notifications or permissions. The Ukraine president also claimed that tanks and troops were amassing at the borders. There is, however, no evidence of a troop buildup at the Russia-Ukraine border, as Ukraine does not possess the military reserves to do so, and Russia, with its vastly superior armed forces, does not need to make such efforts in order to project military might. President Vladimir Putin of Russia complained that the ship-seizing incident represented an intentional provocation. He was quoted in Russia Today saying, quote, the authorities in Kiev are selling anti-Russian sentiment with quite a success today. They have nothing else to do. Putin said that the Ukrainian side is responsible for the escalation of tensions and claimed the incident was a deliberate and planned provocation by the Ukrainian Navy. Relations have been tense between Ukraine and Russia since March 2014, when Russia seized Crimea along with the vast Russian naval base on the Black Sea. The Irish Times quoted the governor of Odessa province, Maxim Stepanov, saying there were no plans for a curfew, mass mobilization, or confiscation of property for military needs. He said, quote, if there's no open invasion by the Russian Federation, then there won't be any restrictions on citizens' rights. There's no reason to panic.
The national nonprofit organization, Center for Biological Diversity, sued the Trump administration today, rebuking the government for, quote, refusing to recognize that ocean acidification caused by fossil fuel pollution is impairing the quality of Oregon's coastal waters. 22 million tons of carbon dioxide are absorbed daily by the Earth's oceans, and the result is an increasingly acidic condition that is stunting the growth of essential plankton, shellfish, and coral. Attorney Emily Jeffers, speaking for the Oregon-based nonprofit, was quoted in their press release saying, ocean acidification is wreaking havoc on Oregon's coastal waters, while the Trump administration ignores the dire threat caused by our fossil fuel addiction. This pollution is already harming Oregon's oysters and plankton that whales and salmon depend on. We can protect water quality and coastal communities, but only if federal officials address acidification before it gets worse. An Oregon State study cited in the Oregonian noted that 75% of shellfish farmers in the state are concerned about the effect of ocean acidification on their harvest. And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture. On today's episode, a Yukon First Nation leader says that a pilot project has improved public safety. TransCanada will ask federal court to allow work on the Keystone XL pipeline, and the trail will begin for the former Omaha officer involved in the death of a Native man.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in Carpenter v. Murphy. At issue is whether traditional boundaries of the Creek Nation in eastern Oklahoma is reservation today. Patrick Murphy, a Muscogee Creek citizen, says his murder case was argued in the wrong court. His attorneys say his 1999 crime happened on traditional Creek land, making it a federal, not state matter. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed. On Tuesday, Justice Stephen Breyer questioned Murphy's attorney about what happens to the nearly 2 million people who live in an area if it's placed under tribal control. Justice Elena Kagan, though, challenged Oklahoma's attorney on whether Congress truly eliminated the reservation when the state adopted its current allotment arrangement. The case is being closely watched by tribes and Native groups for possible impacts on all Oklahoma tribes and tribes across the country. One of the major concerns is what a high court decision could mean for jurisdiction, specifically expanded criminal jurisdiction under the Violence Against Women Act. A decision by the Supreme Court could come in the spring. A coalition of Native activists, educators, students, and community members are calling on officials of Albuquerque Public Schools to be accountable to Native American students in their district. This after an incident on October 31st involving Native American high school students. One student says their hair was cut and the other called a racist name. The Red Nation is planning to show support to the students and seek action from school officials at Wednesday night's school board meeting. Organizers of the Red Nation say the action by the teacher is racism. After the incident, APS described it in a letter to parents as a Halloween stunt. The letter says the teacher was put on leave after allegations of inappropriate behavior, and APS was investigating the incident. Calls to Albuquerque Public Schools were not returned by deadline. Chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, Senator John Hovind, says two bills are headed to President Trump for a signature. One repeals an 1800s-era law that prohibits the establishment of a facility on Indian land to make distilled liquors. It would not have effect on federal or state tax or on a state's regulation of alcohol within its borders. Hovind says the bill repeals outdated law, which is not compatible with modern policy to promote tribal self-determination. It could help tribes diversify their economies if they build and operate distilleries on tribal land. The other bill repeals a federal statute which conferred criminal jurisdiction on the state of Iowa over offenses committed on the Sac and Fox Reservation. The bill clarifies jurisdiction for the Sac and Fox tribe. The committee Wednesday is set to hold a business meeting on bills and resolutions. The bills include examining jurisdiction in North Dakota and easements in Arizona. Resolutions seek to recognize the contributions of Native women and recognize tribal canoe journeys in the Northwest. Two women have been charged with the death of a Native man 10 years after his murder. The Salt Lake Tribune reports sisters Victoria Big Crow Clown and Jara Jean Whipple Santos Ramirez have been charged with the death of Lester Lloyd Janis. The women were interviewed about his death in 2009. In a press conference this week, police say their story about his death has changed. Janis was found dead in an apartment in Salt Lake City. Police say the women first said they saw him last alive, but now one of their stories has changed. The man reportedly had dated their mother and had been in and out of their lives. The Navajo Nation has agreed to drop its legal claim over the 2018 elections after discussions with Arizona officials. Last week, the tribe filed a lawsuit in federal court over voting rights of Navajo citizens. The tribe alleges Navajo voters have unequal access to voting and were denied equal protection in the November midterm in Arizona. In a press release, the tribe said it will work together with Arizona counties to address problems faced by Navajo voters. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National.
Next up, it's the Week in Water from H2O Radio. On today's episode, the White House is downplaying a new federal report that says the U.S. economy will be damaged by climate change. There is a major effort to rescue manatees from the red tide in Florida, and more on This Week in Water.
Chicago could have weather like Phoenix. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The U.S. economy will be damaged by climate change as its effects lead to bigger and more destructive wildfires, droughts, and heat waves, according to a new report from the federal government.
The U.S. Global Change Research Program released its fourth national climate assessment the day after Thanksgiving, and its conclusions are not surprising given the recent U.N. report warning that we need to keep average global temperatures below 1.5 degrees Celsius.
But what is surprising? The 1,600-page report comes from the Trump administration, some of whom, including the president, continue not to recognize the dangers of global warming.
The report gets into specifics. For example, in the American West, as it gets warmer, the change in the amount and timing of precipitation won't match the demand for water.
According to Inside Climate climate news, Chicago's climate could become more like Phoenix, with temps reaching 100 degrees Fahrenheit on many summer days.
In some areas, drying farmlands will lead to crop failures, and the geographic range of diseases like Lyme, West Nile, and Zika will expand.
The report also says that flooding from heavy rainfall, storm surges, and rising high tides are expected to compound existing issues with aging infrastructure in the Northeast.
Trump downplayed the assessment, saying it was largely based upon the most extreme scenario. However, Catherine Hayhoe, one of the report's authors, told The Guardian that the White House's position is demonstrably false. All scenarios were considered, not just the most extreme.
Many of the people who are migrating north from Guatemala and other areas of Central America are fleeing violence and gangs, but there are additional reasons they leave their homes. Some migrants are also motivated by hunger caused by lean harvests and drought.
That was the conclusion of the Department of Homeland Security back in September, and since then, The Guardian has reported that climate change was a driving factor of those problems. And according to Tomasz Topinski of the University of Cincinnati, there's another cause in the mix, deforestation.
Deforestation can lead to food insecurity because it degrades natural habitats on which people depend for their food, livelihoods, and fuel.
Stepinski, a professor of geography, has created a new world map showing dramatic land use changes over the last 25 years. Guatemala has seen widespread deforestation, with much of the forest being used for firewood.
Stepinski's maps show that more than one-fifth of the earth was altered between 1992 and 2015, primarily from forest to agriculture.
His new world maps show changes not only in forests, but also in wetlands, farmlands, and reservoirs.
A group of fishing enterprises on the West Coast filed suit last week against 30 fossil fuel companies seeking compensation for losses due to climate change.
Crabbers say they're suffering because some of their fishing waters have been closed due to algae blooms in the warming Pacific Ocean. They claim that both the quantity and safety of crabs are affected.
The warming water causes algae blooms that lead to a buildup in shellfish of a potent human neurotoxin. California officials recently issued warnings not to eat internal parts of Dungeness crab from certain areas due to the toxin.
Inside Climate News reports that the lawsuit brought by the crabbers is unusual because it pits one industry against another. Some municipalities have already sued oil and gas companies, but this is the first time businesses have done so.
On the other coast, algae is still affecting wildlife in Florida. Manatees are large mammals that typically live in coastal or river waters in North America, Africa, and the Amazon. Those that are in Florida have suffered greatly from the red tide algae blooms that began about a year ago.
The animals absorb a toxin from the algae through their skin, inhale it when they breathe, and ingest it by eating plants that have algae on them. Efforts by zoos, aquariums, and marine parks like SeaWorld to save the manatees are challenging due to their size.
John Peterson, the rescue manager at SeaWorld, told The Guardian that in the summer they had to search their warehouses to find portable pools for dozens of manatees that were arriving two or three a week.
Peterson even paid the airfare to send some manatees to zoos in Ohio so there would be more space at his rehab facility. SeaWorld alone has taken in 66 manatees this year. And finally this week, we turn to earwax. Not the human kind that builds up in our ear canals, but what accumulates in a whale's ears. They too excrete wax, and as it turns out, it's a great tool for scientists because the animal's so-called earplugs stay with them for life.
For that reason, a whale's earplug can reveal an animal's age, similar to tree rings, because as the creatures alternate between summer feeding and winter migrations, the wax in their ears changes from light to dark.
And the wax can also help scientists analyze what the whales were experiencing when each band was formed. According to a recent study from Baylor University, they've been under a lot of stress.
Using earplugs taken from fin, humpback, and blue whales that lived in the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans from 1870 to 2016, researchers found that the whales' cortisol levels correlated to whether the creatures were being hunted. During the 1960s, when whaling was at its height, cortisol peaked to a maximum, and when whaling moratoriums were introduced in the mid-1970s, cortisol levels dropped dramatically.
Whales were also stressed during World War II, despite a decline in whaling, and the authors surmise it was likely due to wartime activities, such as underwater detonation, naval battles, as well as plane and submarine noise.
In recent decades, stress levels have been starting to climb again, due to climate change. According to National Geographic, scientists are still trying to understand how global warming causes stress, but increased temperatures could be altering the location abundance of food sources, and just being in hot water is probably not conducive to a whale's health.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 28, 2018. Here are the main points again. A Portland man attempts to bribe an ICE agent, the week in water, and in international news, a UN environmental report. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ali Mintz-Lowe. The producer is Teresa Mitchell, and our engineer is David Kesters. The director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Rachel Hartley. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Mike Fdaklis.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Sojourner Truth Radio updates the situation in Yemen as Senator Bernie Sanders is leading an effort to block U.S. support for the Saudi-led war, plus organizers with Black Lives Matter Chicago. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, it's the collected stories of Diane Williams, over 300 new and previously published short fictions. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.